Well, good morning.
We're still in that season for Lent, right? And we said each time as we go, as we're looking in through that 40 days, we're looking forward to a day that we see and hear about not just the crucifixion, but the resurrection. We serve a risen Lord. He has risen indeed. He has risen indeed. It's getting there, right? By the time we get Easter, we'll have it there. We'll have some excitement there, right? We got colorful clothes now. We're seeing a lot of purple now. So we'll see that excitement. If you have your bulletins or your Bible, go to the Isaiah verse. And there's one part I want you to underline or at least pay attention to. It says, "Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God he will freely pardon." That really goes with the New Testament. In the New Testament, we have two stories, and we might not be able to relate to them. And if we look in church history, I don't know if pastor's been able to find anything, but I couldn't find anything as I'm going through coordinates and that to find out about these Galileans that were slain. Apparently, they were at the temple of the time. It must have been at the Passover, allowing as we think of church history. Here they are, and their Pilate kills them, and in the horror of the deaths, their blood gets mingled in with the sacrifice of the time. And the question comes to Jesus, what's going on? You know, that's what they were thinking. He knew what they were thinking. Now, we would want to, you know, maybe know more stuff. Oh, tell me more. How did that happen? Why did it happen? Why did I go on? That's not discussed. And in church history, it's pretty much gone. Later, there's a second story Jesus brings up, and he said, how about the 18, where the tower fell on them and they died? Were they any worse than anybody else? And we don't hear much more about that. And if you try to look in church history, I couldn't find anything on that. Pastor, could you find anything on that? I haven't been able to. So those two things we can't find in church history. You look in Josephus and all that, it's just not there. How do we relate to that? How many remember 9/11? You guys remember that? I remember that, okay? I was in Chicago area. I was going to go teach, because I had my own business at the time, teach a company. I was on the road already. I heard stuff happening on the radio as I was going. I finally ended up, I had very early classes to teach, and I canceled the classes because of the events of the time. Now, if we were to relate that scripture that we just read and put it to us, we might say that the people in the towers, were they sinners worse than us? Did they deserve that fate? And we could try to discuss it and look at it and everything else, and Jesus would probably say the same thing, is that if you don't repent, you too shall perish. What about now in the news? You turn the news on, we see Russia, right? And we see the deaths that are happening to the innocent, to children, to families, and we might ask, if we could, to Jesus and say, well, were they worse as a country? Were they worse than America that they deserved this fate that they would die? And Jesus would answer, what? No. But you must what? Repent, for you will perish. And what's he saying then? There is something that happens in our life, and some events happen quickly and unannounced. Have you ever had that happen in your life? You didn't know, maybe a loved one? I told you, in my experience in October, none of us in our family expected my youngest sister to pass away. We figured she'd be the last. She ended up being the first in our group of family. Unexpected. We didn't expect it. We can go in all details? No, we don't need to. Was she worse than anybody else? Well, maybe some of the family might think so, but no. She wasn't worse than anyone else. And the hardest question sometimes is, why did that happen to my family? Why did that happen to us? Why did that happen to them? And that's not the focus God wants you to have. God wants you to know that they are no worse than anyone else. It's events of life. What happened in this world to make a change? Something came to this world. What was it? You know, it brought it into Genesis, and it's lasted all this time. It was sin came into the world, and it changed everything. And it changed us. In our own self, we don't want and desire the things of God, do we? We want to please who? Us. Now, as a church and a body of Christ, we want to please the community. We want to show them the love of Christ. But if we were really honest, when living for just us, we just want to be us and satisfy us. The message today before this Lent time is that we must repent. Now, I don't know if anyone's come to church and that's a regular time that you just do. It's something you've always done, but you've never, ever repented. Repentance means what? To turn away. Turn away from the things that you have done and start living for God. And when we come to church and when we see what God has done for us through the work of the cross, it is that we should be confessing to God our sins. It says in 1 John 1:9, He is faithful and just to forgive us from all our sin. We need to repent. And things can happen in a moment. I can't guarantee to you this week what will happen to you this week or to me. We don't have that guarantee. And just like the events of our world, the events of our life can change in a moment. Maybe as we're here, as we leave those doors, or this week. And the question is, before you stand before a holy God, have you repented of who you were and of your sins? When you come to church, you're enlightened by the scripture that it will enlighten you and let you know how you stand before a holy God. Your conscience will tell you as you have it. In Romans, it tells us later on, some men and women get to the point where the conscience is seared. Whatever they do, it doesn't matter. But when it does matter in the way God created you, you know, even as a child, what is right and what is wrong. You ever feel guilty? You want to shake your heads? No? Guilt is based on that part where we know we've done something wrong. We don't know where we really stand. We're maybe afraid we got caught or going to get caught, or we did get caught and we have to pay some kind of a penalty. When we come to communion, we are taking part that Jesus died on the cross for all our sins, and the guilt is removed. And it says in Hebrews, you can come boldly before the throne of God because God looks at you like He looks at His Son. He looks at you as sinless. Isn't that amazing? It's an amazing God. But the problem with mankind is that there is a situation between those who have repented and those who have not. That's the difference in the world. And there will be a time where there is no more time. I think one of the biggest things the devil would have us to know is before you repent or you have to make a decision about God is that, oh, you have more time. You can do it tomorrow. You do it next week. You know, wait for pastor to come back and do Easter service, and you can do it then. And that's probably the biggest lie that's out there. I have more time. So the first thing is you need to know where you stand before a holy God. Are your sins forgiven? Are you knowing for sure that you've repented from your ways and turned to God's ways? John says, I write these things that you might know. You need to know it. I love Paul when he used to write to the church. He used to always say, I beseech thee therefore, brethren, that you be not what? Ignorant. You ought to know. You ought to know today where you stand before a holy God. Now here's the other part of Lent. Sometimes in our lives, even in our Christian lives, we wander and we stray. We're like that sheep that got away. Where Jesus has to go for that one out of the 99, you know, that's just gone its own way. And the reason we do this Lent and we go through it is not only looking for the joy of Easter, but we also have a time for reflection. And this day is the day to remember that you need to repent. You will perish. The question is, when my day is done, where will I go? Am I going home? Read Revelation 21, 22, what a blessed home. Nobody would want to come back. Great place to be. Heaven. You looking for heaven? I serve a lot of seniors, and as they get older, they get to the point where in their lives, if they have a relationship with God, it's like, I'm ready. He's not, but I am. If you haven't left, you're here, there's work for you to do. That's where we come next to the parable of the fig tree. And that really represents Israel. We went from individuals to a country. And it says there that he went. And guess who the person is looking at the fig tree? That's God Almighty. That's a picture of him. He goes to the fig tree. I said, I've been coming here for 3 years. 3 years, and this fig tree is not bearing what? Fruit. No fruit. What good is it? It's just taking up space, the minerals out of the ground. It's a waste. Do what? Cut it down. Boy, I get kind of scared when I read those, especially when I was a kid and learning those things, and you think, you know, if I'm not being used in some way and bearing fruit, when will God cut me down? Kind of scary. If you thought of it that way. But a fig tree should be doing what? It has a purpose. Purpose is to what? Bear what? Yeah, fruit or figs, right? And in the person taking care of the vineyard is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. His love and his compassion, and he says what? How about some more time? Give me another year. Let me fertilize it a little bit. If it doesn't bear fruit in a year, all right, cut it down. But give me time. See, the disciples back in their day and the time of Peter and Paul, a lot of people were expecting that Jesus would return again in their time period. And they wondered why he didn't return right away. And there's your answer. Is to give mankind what? More time. You're here today. Some of you have had a good life already. Some of you got many years on you. Some are even older than me. I'm getting up there, but some of you are older than me. And God is giving you time. Now here's the thing. If you're a believer in Christ Jesus and you're a follower of what he's doing, you are part of this church body, then you ought to be doing what? Producing spiritual? Yeah, you can answer. It's okay. Now here's that Lent season again, reflection time. If I haven't repented of my sins, I need to repent today. If I know I'm living in sin and there's no question, then I need to repent of that sin. If I've never turned to God and just played games and just come and showed, I need to repent because I don't know when my day is done. But as I live today and as I profess to know Him and as I profess to be this body of Christ, I must produce fruit. Are you producing fruit? Are you going to your neighbor and letting them know that you love Jesus? You need something, you call on me, and you wonder why I do it? I do it because I love Jesus. I pray for my pastor. Why? Because we've missed her, and we love her, and we guess what? I want to some way show some fruit. I saw somebody carrying goodies, and they're taking it to the other place. Somebody spent a heart of making things so you might have some joy in eating something. Now, that's not the fruit I hope that they put there, but it's a fruit of service to others. A fruit of service that we teach people art or have fun learning something out of art and having fun. Somebody will say something kind to somebody today here at church, and they had a tough week. One thing was asked me, Pastor, how was your week? Did you have a good day at your normal job as you went? Somebody asked me that. Fruit isn't really hard to produce if you just let the Holy Spirit guide and direct your path. He'll give you the strength. He'll give you the courage. He gives you the ability to produce fruit. So this Lent time is for you to do two things this Sunday. One is to make sure that you're right with God. That you have, one, a relationship with Him. Second is that you're right with Him. And then that you ask that He help you produce fruit. We don't know what will happen. But are you ready to serve Him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul? With your thoughts of the day, do you spend time, as we've mentioned weeks before, do you find that place to go and have quietness and pray? Have you been working out each week as we've come at that season of time? Remember, there was quite a few series in this Lent time that we basically learned that whatever Jesus said, we must, you learned it. We must do. Mary said it, right? Whatever He says, do it. Fishermen learned that they, even based on their experience and their knowledge, cast your nets, and what did they do? They went and did it. Last week we learned that we got to keep on going on. We got to keep calm and going on. But now it's where we used to say with fire stones where the rubber meets the road. And I'd give you a chance today as we pray right after this message. If you've never turned your heart, your soul, your mind to the Lord Jesus Christ for the work on the cross that He did, I ask that you repent of your sin today. And then the second part will be if you have wandered or strayed or got lazy in the day, that as we pray, you'll commit yourself again to the service of the King. There's nothing better than to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved you so much that He died to forgive every sin. Let's pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Heavenly Father, we thank You again for a message that tells us we must repent. We do not know how quick something can change. But we know where we need to be, and we know what we have to do. And I ask, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if there's anyone here that wants prayer, that they have never trusted the God's work on the cross for forgiveness of sin, they'll do that today. Will you just raise your hand and say, I haven't done that, and I want you to pray for me. I'm doing that today. I'm trusting in Jesus. I'm trusting in the work of the cross. I repent of my sin. And I accept what You have done for me and I appreciate it. Anyone today? And now my other prayer for this church and for this body is that if you have stopped producing fruit, use like today as fertilizer. Use what God is providing in your life as sunlight and water that you might grow. And would you just raise your hand as eyes are closed and heads are bowed, that pray for me, I want to be used by God. I want to produce fruit. I repent of how life has been, and I'm turning more to you. I'm giving up the things that have pleased me, and I want to please you. Anyone today? Thank you. Thank you. Heavenly Father, there are those that have practiced the part of the special part of Lent is repentance. They've asked for you for forgiveness, and we know that you forgive all sin. Nobody needs to know, but you know. Give them peace and assurance today. Bring the love of Christ and their joy of their salvation back in their life today. And then I ask, for me and for them, help us produce fruit. And may it start today. In Jesus' name, amen.